Warning: Triangle Face may contain content objectionable to minors and the elderly. You have been warned.
No! Never Triangle Face. I hate Triangle Face. It scares me.
Welcome once again to this second part of Triangle Face Podcast Video Game Spectacular. We, as Dave's pile of Blu-rays falls once again for two episodes in a row.
If you would move your chair over to the right 5 inches, they'd be fine.
I'm super comfortable.
Yeah, he's super lazy.
As you know, last episode, we got to rambling, and half of our scheduled things we were going to talk about did not happen.
It was like Star Wars A New Hope.
Yeah.
Got a little bit into it, but it's not near as good as the second part.
This is the Empire.
Oh, okay. I was completely lost.
This is basically Empire. I'm not saying that this isn't going to end on a horrible down note.
I was going to say that. Horrible down note.
Good job, Dante. Do you think that the independent contractors knew what they were getting into, or what's your take on the whole independent contractor Death Star situation?
Of course, an independent contractor knows exactly who he's going to be working for. That's in the contract negotiations up front. So they knew exactly what the process was.
That is a great, great idea. I had never thought about that until I saw that movie. I'm like, that's genius.
Oh, yeah.
Again, someone had to be building.
We get off track already.
We got off track with our introduction. My name is Stephen Kelly, joined to my left with the magnificent...
Oh, I thought... David Vandiver.
And the Thrilla from Manila. Not really from Manila.
The Camel Clutch originator, Brad Baldus. Don't worry about David. He is our resident retard.
That's great.
I'm sorry, mentally challenged. I don't know what the PC term is anymore.
Just because I see a giant invisible rabbit all the time named Harvey.
Yeah, it's an old thing.
Kids, ask your parents about that reference. Grandparents.
Yeah. It's an old Jimmy Stewart movie called Fucking Harvey.
Jimmy Stewart?
Which I heard they're actually going to remake that.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know why you would.
They remake everything, though.
Well, at least...
No original idea is
Every time they remake one of his movies, it's always like Bernie Mac as Jimmy Stewart's character.
Dead,
and you're
right?
Like, I know. So, hey...
They should have done a Weekend at Bernie's.
With Bernie Mac?
Yeah, get it? Get it?
I get it.
Wrong. That was good. You can't.
Oh, I'm not denying.
Not admit that was
good. But you're
terrible, but good.
Horrible life.
With Andrew McCarthy, because that dude hasn't done shit.
Who?
Never mind. Let's just carry on.
Well, we wanted to start today's episode off with, we're going to be doing a game review here, which was originally how we were going to close out the last episode,
That's true.
We wanted to go ahead and, we didn't want to rush through it and actually give this game its due. So, Brad, I don't know if you wanted to introduce everything.
Yeah, all right. Well, because I'm such a PC gaming nerd.
Fag.
I hang out on Reddit,
like
on the indie gaming subreddit. Shut up, dude. Just because those of us know how to use a mouse and keyboard properly and realize it is the master race of gaming.
I use it for porn and its decision-making skills.
Well, you type into Google, what should I do today, Google? And then it gives you an e-how of what you should do today.
Siri, what should I do today? Yes.
Hold on. What does Siri say, Dave?
They'll say nothing. What should I do today, Siri?
You don't have any events on your calendar for today.
Thank you, Siri. Thank you, Siri.
So does that mean she's telling you... She
should be thanking you.
Ooh. Siri and me have an ongoing relationship. Have you seen her? Because that's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, God. Anyways.
So now, after Dave creeped everyone out at the table here... Yeah.
You've got to see her.
I'm done. I can't even do the review now. I got to go to confessional because that's like free therapy. But so obviously on the indie subreddit, I'll play anything as long as there's a demo. And this guy posted a, well, if you're just like, hey, check my game out, and there's no demo, I'm not going to check your game out. It's dumb.
Okay.
But so this guy posted a link to his game. It's called, I really hope I'm pronouncing it right. I probably
we apologize,
that.
Sir.
Yeah, we apologize if we butcher this. I'm sorry.
But do like it.
Cyrilim. That's what I've been saying in my head.
I thought it was Cyrilim.
It could be.
No, because it's S-I-R.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If it had an umlaut in it, that would be the only thing I'd say is umlauts. Umlauts make anything better. But
are you going to name your daughter Zoe with umlauts?
Oh, yeah. An umlaut over the Z.
Boom.
How would that pronounce?
Zoe. But so I clicked on it, checked his game out and stuff. It's in beta, and essentially what it is, it's an RPG with some roguelike elements, because you can do permadeath and whatnot. But you have a kingdom, and
your father has died.
Your father has died, and you must avenge him. So you have a kingdom, and you have to go out and do little quests with a party of creatures that you summon. And each dungeon, essentially, that you go into, it's a biome, so it's a different area. It's not really like a actual like dungeon per se, but you go into them, and there's different creatures you have to fight, and
you fight the castle thing.
The castle thing?
Like, what was your first creature you fought in the training thing or whatever it is, pretty much?
Oh, in the tutorial? Oh,
the training monster. Yeah, it was
a castle. Like, mine was like a castle. Yeah. It said, like, rock castle.
It reminded me, honestly, what it reminded me of was the things in Mario Brothers that drop down.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you're in Bowser's castle. That's what it reminded me of.
Where it's like, it looks all happy, and then it gets all pacey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
pacey, yeah.
But, so you fight them, and it's turn-based, and, one of the things I like about it is that you can collect particles of the creatures you fight, and then once you get 3 particles and you have enough other resources that you just find when you're wandering around,
you build
can
Captain
go
Planet.
Summon that creature. So you can just continually add to your party. So there's a little bit of, at least from my perspective, I kind of got a little bit of a Pokemon feel to it, you know. Cause
yeah,
there's so
it
many
didn't
creatures.
Bother me. Yeah, I like.
Well,
that.
No, it didn't bother me. I'm just that's you know.
And what it really a game that it honestly reminds me a lot of is it's an old series. Now they have new ones, but they don't play like the old ones. But an old series called Shin Megami Tensei, which is what those like more popular games in the series called Persona. They kind of. Yeah. The original ones that were like the original ones on Nintendo, but like the Super Nintendo ones are very similar because they were basically like old school dungeon hack games like Wizardry and stuff like that. Right. With they were the first game to have that monster collecting element.
Mm-hmm.
This game honestly reminded me. I didn't get to play it a whole lot, unfortunately, because I work like 46 hours a week lately.
Plus, man. They don't have trophies yet until
they
get
don't
trophies,
have trophies.
So.
Jeez.
I'll be sure to let him know that.
Hook it up to
PS. Message him back that we did the review. That
my
friend said it needs Steam achievements. What it really needs.
That'll make
the
game so much better.
It's the way of the future. Achievements.
No, but
Steam missed.
It reminded me a lot of that, and a little bit that I got into it. The thing I like about a lot of these indie games that are coming out lately is you have games that on the surface vaguely resemble something from the past. Like, it looks
God,
a lot like
that.
A 16-bit, you know, game, but incredibly way more advanced than any 16-bit game could ever dream of
being.
I
like the music. I really like
the music.
I really
is really good. I
dig
do,
the background music.
Yeah, the background music, I think, is really good.
For even the fighting thing and
character
stuff.
Character designs
like
were pretty slick, too.
Yeah, like
you
the guy.
It was, like, two guys, basically, that made this?
It's, it's,
I love how they integrated Walter White Jr. into it.
Shut up about
it. He's the guy. I don't know who it was, but.
So, I asked him, I sent the guy a message on Reddit and whatnot, and we've been corresponding, and I'm not going to say
love
his name,
letters.
But there's the one guy, he does
Bruce Almighty.
All the programming and game design, and then there's another team member who drew almost all of the graphics. And then they hired 2 freelancers, one to do music, so it actually has a
dedicated
music
score.
Composer.
It does
yeah,
have
dedicated
some good
score, and then someone to draw all the spell effects in the game.
Nice.
And he just updated it. It's the version 9 I believe it was, update for the beta just came out, and I downloaded it a couple days ago from Humble, and I haven't had a chance to play it, but he said he's updated quite a bit of the your actual kingdom stuff and what you do, because he said a lot of what they're doing updates for is still spell effects and animation.
I mean, there's a total of 6 keys you got to hit: arrows and
The Q controls,
and
the
E.
Yeah, the controls are ultra simple.
WASD and Q and E, and like that's it. Like, I love that. You know, it's not. I don't have to have a damn.
Have you ever seen anyone play World of Warcraft? By the way, like the entire keyboard is one giant spellbook, which is neat, but it's hard to figure out what's going on.
I like with something that, because this game, I mean, there's a lot to it. I mean, you know, it's not just, oh, you're just going out and killing creatures. I mean, you got to collect resources. You have to upgrade your kingdom or your castle or whatever, so you can do, you know, get better spells, craft equipment and armor and all that.
What kind of mage did you pick?
I picked the death class, I believe it was.
I think I went with illusionist, I believe. I don't know if there's any difference in the character design.
No,
or nothing.
As of right now, it's just all it does is it when you pick your class,
yeah, it gives you different stats.
It just it also looks different. It's just for like just graphical placement. However, the actual creatures themselves are all aligned to one of those groups. And they each creature has, you know, like your death ones are you know, have a weakness to something, but they have but they're stronger against a different class. Because I asked him, I'm like, well, the class that you choose for your character, do you get a bonus for creatures that are of that same class? And he said, as of right now, no, but he's you know, a lot of people, I guess, have asked him that on other forums, and he said it's one of the things he's looking into doing, is maybe getting, you know, giving you a they have a better chance or something while you're fighting with them. So I thought that was pretty cool, and he's doing update. I mean, the game gets updated all the time, which I you know, totally commend, because there's way too many of these indie games where, hey, man, check my game out.
Well, then it becomes vaporware.
Where'd that dude go with the game? Oh, he left? Oh, I got
well, and that, and you get games where they hype up a game and then disappear forever. Yeah. I mean, there was a something that happened like probably getting close to like 20 years, well, not 20, like 10 years ago or something, where this guy had this like game that I think he made using like an open source RPG making deal, and hyped it up to the most ridiculous degree possible because it was a one guy operation, and then he just disappeared. And then then he made a bunch of videos where it seemed like he had a mental breakdown, and a lot of people thought it was viral marketing for the game. Mm. And I honestly don't think that game ever. I would be surprised if that game ever came out.
It's like the guy
Bob's
that fucking
game
did
or something.
Probably not.
Flappy Birds, which is the most ridiculous, stupid freaking thing I've ever heard of. When I played it, and I was like, "What the hell?" And you know, the story comes out. You know, makes all this money in X amount of days, and blah 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 blah. Which I don't know why anyone would spend money on it, but whatever. But it got him super amounts of money, and all that game was just him doing something when he was first learning how to do C++ or whatever gaming thing was. And of course, he freaking had that meltdown of people freaking hating on the game or giving him shit for it. He's like, fuck this.
Well, that and the media was posting his name in, like, the paper. And over, I think he lived in Vietnam. And you don't go posting, like, this person's rich in a country like that.
But, no, I...
We'll have to hand it to Mr. Cyril M here, though, because he is keeping us updated with everything and not doing anything like that.
Yeah, it's... I like it a lot. I mean, like I said, you got spells, you got your creatures, and there's hundreds of different creatures you can get.
Next to him, you talk to him, ask him how to pronounce it. Yeah, not even being a jerk.
I should have asked that, yeah. And you can control a maximum of 6 creatures at a time, but not, like, right now, at my level, I think I can only have 3 right now.
Yeah.
3 creatures.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I haven't run into a thing where I'm, like, facing a ton of people where I'm like, oh, my 3 can't handle it. So, I like that. It you know, it keeps up with you. It doesn't, you know, get crazy. Once your group's wiped out, that's it, and you start all over again. Obviously, I'm not a huge fan of that. So
no,
I went with normal guy mode.
Yeah, I went with normal. But, also, it was like hard. I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you.
It's
get
like, who would ever do that hard version of like Demon Souls?
Oh God.
But there's great stuff about it. I like the fact that I like the look of it. I mean, game. I guess you'd say I guess for us, we would say old school.
Yeah, it's definitely retro.
But
I mean, yeah, I don't even know.
And I know for a lot of people, that keeps people away from a game, which is unfortunate, because I don't think that should. I don't think that's something.
Well,
that should
keep our away. Generation's coming up into the age of we've got money, we've got jobs, we have expenditures, and a lot of the new shit people just don't like as much anymore. I mean, you rehash the same shit every. We talked about it on the last time about Call of Duty. Call of Duty is the same game rehashed into the same
every
thing,
single year,
which is fine for that niche of people. But as I said, the you know, you can only have so much. After a while, that stuff's going to go away.
Yeah.
People will get tired of it and something else will come in. And a lot of people, there's a big 8-bit music movement of people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That love video games.
Chiptunes music.
Chiptunes. Our friend Mike Vallejo, freaking a neighbor of mine for years and years. I think he lives in Detroit or something, and that's what he does, is chiptunes. He just changed his name. I can't remember what it is, but... You know,
but yeah, I think it. I think the
there's really good music. I think
the graphics and the music play to the you know they play to the game. You know, it's not.
And you're also.
I think.
What do you expect from two people?
I don't think it'd be if somebody made a game like this. You know, and it had like you know eye-catching graphics. You know, that are like you know you need a crazy huge. Graphics card for I don't think it'd be terrible, but
it'd lose its charm.
Well, nothing beats charm. A Link to the Past. I mean that thing.
I think well, that's what this. The graphics like this, they remind me very much of that kind of Nintendo Super Nintendo, that time period. And I think it plays to its strength.
The movement controls are a little jerky, but I mean but, it's the very first thing. And of course I couldn't figure out which where I was supposed to go at first too. I was like, I assume these are stairs. It's like this square box, and like it's like head upstairs to find your creature. I'm like, all right, cool. I think this is stairs. Let's go over here.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not as bad as it, you know, like how trying to find shit on an Atari was. I mean, Atari, I could never. I hate those games so bad. That's an area that they don't need to explore. Going all the way back to Atari.
Yeah, we don't want to get super retro.
No, that's just.
Yeah, it's got. There's more depth to it too. There's
Well, you said I haven't made it that far, but you said there was a like castle building. So does it take?
You have your castle that you start out in, and then you
trying to expand the.
You have to get. It's a little bit later in the game. I only just started getting some of it, but you collect. I believe it's granite, and then you do projects. Some of them are to open up new like dungeon areas. More biomes, like I just spent however much it was of resources to open up a new biome. So instead of just going into like the springtime looking one that you're kind of in, you have a chance now to go into whatever one you just, you know, constructed.
Okay.
But then there's other stuff too, like there's upgrades to your castle and whatnot. Like I think there's one, I'm not really sure because I didn't, like I said, I haven't gotten that far, but I believe it's for helping to craft your items, because you'll find equipment out there, but you can actually combine this stuff to make even better equipment for your creatures, whatnot. Which I thought was pretty cool that you can actually put stuff on your.
What's the name of that piece of shit game you keep talking about? Where it's just regular sprites. Something about you're like a goblin or.
I think he's talking about Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah.
You talking about Dwarf Fortress?
Yeah, you're fucking horrible game.
Are you talking about Dwarf Fortress? You talking shit right now about Dwarf Fortress? Dude, I will end this review by beating you to death with this microphone. You understand me?
Anytime.
Oh, I'm sorry your brain can't get wrap around Dwarf Fortress and how awesome it is.
No, I can't.
Elf lover? That's probably what it is. You love elves, okay? Dwarf Fortress ain't about loving elves. It's about killing elves when they show up with their merchandise. And then you take said merchandise.
How can you fair? Is are they elves because they're the letter E? And that's how you know they are? What they are?
Yeah, sometimes. Unless you play with a tile set.
See,
that's the thing, is you don't have the concentration to learn it. It ain't a Bill Wallace novel we're talking here.
Yeah, but I learned it.
Sad, sad bastard. But anyways, so I also asked him what, you know, what his major influences were, because like I said, you said Shin...
It reminds me of the...
Shinigami Tensei.
Well, Shikaka. He said Shikaka.
Shikaka.
Just the Mega Ten games. That's right. One name for them.
And I... When I started playing it, I immediately thought Pokemon. Just because the whole the creature thing. But I asked him, you know, what his major influences were, and he said he drew from Dragon Warrior Monsters 1 and 2 for Game Boy Color, which I never played. I never had.
They're kind of in that same genre. Yeah.
And then he said that's also where he got the he drew influence for the graphic style as well as the game's core features. He said light inspiration was drawn from Diablo for the loot system, which I could definitely tell because I've gotten a ton of pretty sweet stuff. And he said Master of Magic also, which was I played that on computer. That's pretty sweet. I asked him, you know, what his future plans are because it's still in beta. And he said he wants to expand the game both horizontally and vertically. He wants to put a full spell crafting system where players can actually create their own spells.
Wow.
Which is always that. I mean, that's pretty ambitious. You know, you don't really get too many games where you can do that. Normally it's, all right, you want to cast Fireball? Boom, Fireball.
You're like,
here's Fireball 2, which is
Fireball
slightly larger.
Yeah, it costs a little bit more mana. But that's cool because I
Fireball
really
plus freaking Earthquake, you know.
Yeah, like I can't think of very many games where I've ever been able to actually craft my own spells. In fact, I don't even think I've ever played a game where you can craft your own spell. So that seems pretty sweet. I think that's a pretty cool concept.
Yeah.
Well,
even if it means that you're like collecting components to make spells, that's still something you don't get to see.
Yeah, you don't see very often anymore.
Like
it might be hard to do. I mean, I don't make video games, but I mean that might be why you don't see it that often. It might be really complicated.
Well, the game industry doesn't really warrant people to take chances like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, let's take Call of Duty.
Well,
and let's put
the job system and stuff like that from Final Fantasies and stuff like that are always crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got...
But something like that, though, adds depth, and it adds more to it, you know, which I'm a fan of. Give it a little bit more depth to it, even if it seems a little difficult to understand at first. But he said you'd be able to name the spell, choose its graphics and graphic and color hue, choose a sound effect, and then customize the spell's functionality by combining certain ingredients.
Nice.
I think that's pretty sweet. I think that'll be cool
when it comes out.
That's
ambitious.
He wants to do new game modes. He wants to do online functionality, player versus player, trading leaderboards, and even some Dark Souls-style content. So there you go, Steve. Leaderboards, bro.
See?
There you go. Steve's hooked now. Leaderboards. Put it in the game soon.
I'm not even into leaderboards, though. It's
you just want an achievement.
I wanted a little pat on the head saying, you beat the game, bro.
I'm sure I'll put that in there. I'm sure something like that
I cannot go on Facebook without having a post from Steve's PlayStation.
I see him, too. But at the same time,
it's great.
I wish I had a PlayStation so that I could do those things.
So you can bombard everyone and alienate all your friends.
Yeah. Mine would probably just say stuff about Dark Souls and how I keep dying repeatedly.
The thing that gets me
you've tried 1,000 times.
People, the PlayStation 4, you can take pictures and stuff. So I have friends now that are like recording videos of themselves playing games and stuff. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Here's
that kind
new.
Of crap. Yeah. I've never did grasp the con. See, that was one thing I always thought was a little. Almost invasion of privacy type scenario. It was like, hey, I'm calling my friend, you know, or someone calls me. What are you doing? I'm just sitting at the house. I don't really want to do anything today. I could see that you're playing, you know, aren't you watching this movie or whatever? I'm like, why don't you just leave me the fuck alone? I mean, like, I can't even lie.
Dave lives in a shack out in the Montana woods. God.
But, he said, that this stuff, he just wants to make it to where people can play, you know, for tens, if not hundreds of hours, and never run out of things to do. And there's no level cap right now. I mean, you can play until, you know, as he says on his webpage, you can play until...
Until the game's done.
Until your character is level 937. Once he said it, there isn't really a...
Do the monsters scale with you, or do they, is there just infinitely better monsters as you play through?
I believe they scale with you. It seems like they have since I've been playing it.
Yeah.
I'm not completely positive. I believe they do, though.
Okay.
I mean, I do know there's something called the Battle Arena, which is it's just a series of battles, and they get more difficult as you progress. And all I know is I think I did something like that the other day. I don't know if that's what it was. All I know is I was in the castle, in my castle, and I summoned I did something, and then these, like, four creatures showed up and just whooped my ass.
Sounds like a bad dream you had.
I had a Lich Mage, and I thought my Lich Mage was pretty sweet, and then all of a sudden I was pretty much just told, nah, dude, your Lich Mage sucks. So go back to playing kickball by yourself in the corner. I'm just like, that's not cool, bro. But yeah, there's no...
And then
there's not really like an actual set end game, which I know for some people that's hard, you know, because there's no set end game, so they might lose focus or something. But
that's me.
But I think what he has right now is good. He just wanted me to say additionally that it's still in beta, And they're doing frequent patches, which they are. I mean, I think when I started playing it, it was version 7, version 6 or 7. And I mean, you know, it's already up to 9. So, wow. To me, how it seems is he's got essentially, he's done it the way how I think a lot of the indie people should do is put it out, you know, and you put out as a demo or beta or whatever, and you actually have a ton of gameplay there for people, and then add stuff as you go.
Yeah.
There's too many people where they just want to put it out once it's completely done, but you're asking a lot from people when you do that.
Yeah.
And he said that they have, that graphically they're still iterating a lot of the sprites, and they're redoing the layout of the castle. Great. Great, Dave. You're... Dude is lawn mowing right now. I'm going to drop the mic, dude. I'm going to jaw rule it out of here. But,
wow, that guy has been mentioned many times recently.
Jaw rule's a frequent topic of discussion.
Jesus.
So, yes, Dave's neighbor evidently has decided
that a podcast,
this was an amazing time. He didn't get the memo that we were recording
a radio show. I'm not Kurt Russell. I mean Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe or
Russell
Kurt
Crowe? Both.
One of the two?
Kurt Russell Crowe.
They're the same person.
Kurt Russell Crowe, I'd be down there. Kurt Crowe, dude, I'd be down there.
All right, so
Kurt
we're Cameron. Probably going to have some temporary stoppage here. We shall return in a quiet area.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom.
It's fucking up. You got to keep
going. All right, guys, we are back.
Third time's a charm.
We had a couple technical difficulties. Dave's neighbor is still mowing the lawn. Yeah.
Brad
so
turned off his microphone.
And then Brad somehow managed to turn his mic off.
That was not me, dude. That was a mic ghost.
That was great because you looked right at me like, you son of a...
I looked down.
Your mic and you're like, I better not open my mouth.
I know, right? I'm just going to... But you looked right as my finger was coming off the on-off switch. So I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to lie my way.
Oh, I hit my head again.
So if you hear a droning noise in the background, that's what that is.
We're a very efficient operation
here, very professional here at the
we're actually
Face
recording
Ranch.
A Drone Doom metal album also.
Yeah.
Just don't even finish that sentence. Just
why? I know what I'm talking about, so why don't you shut your stupid mouth.
Stupid.
Why don't you listen to Fountains of Wayne?
Again, this is the 40 billionth time you've mentioned, like, I like one song, you're like, why don't you just suck that cock of Fountains of Wayne? Just suck that fat wad of Wayne.
Alright, so anyways, I love
it. So back to our game review.
Back to the game review. But yeah, so...
God, Brad, you were such a fucking hipster.
It's always being updated, man. He's saying there it will be released. I don't know if... I would imagine that what he's saying is this is going to be what he's going to put out as the first iteration of it actually being a full release is June 10th of this year for Windows, Mac, iOS, and Android.
Nice. So you'll be able to play it on your phone or your iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you know, if you guys, if it sounds interesting or something, I mean, I've put links up already on our Facebook page to try out the demo and actually go to the game page itself. But yeah, if you guys want to do it, man, it's hundreds, as he puts a tiny little blurb, it's summon hundreds of powerful creatures to fight by your side, in a turn-based RPG with roguelike elements. Everything is randomly generated, including the dungeons, the quests, and the items, so... You know, if that sounds interesting, you go check out the demo, and if you like the demo, you can go to our Facebook page, Triangle Face Podcast.
Triangle Face Podcast.
Triangle Face. And Steve, you're supposed to say Triangle Face. Triangle Face. Triangle Face. No, it's too late now!
Triangle Face.
But, yeah, go to our Facebook page. You can find links to the actual game website. Try the demo out. And then if you want an actual full version of it, the... developers were kind enough to give us some free Humble Bundle keys, so you can ask for one of them, and I know we'll give it to you unless we're already out. And yeah, you can go to humblebundle.com, claim your key, and then you will, I mean, you have the game, you have beta, and then you just keep, you know, obviously be best to make an account at Humble Bundle, reclaim the key, that way you can always log in and download the newest update of the game. And you'll have it for free. I mean, that's pretty sweet for... Seeing as how the pre-order right now, I believe, is $10. Which isn't that bad. I would pay that. I think that's completely fair for what it is right now. And then the full price looks like it's going to be $15.
How do these kind people need to get in contact with us in order to request this if they would like it?
I I would think that the Facebook page is probably easiest. Just go to the Triangle Face Facebook page and post a comment or message the actual page.
Yeah.
And it should get to us because, I mean, we're all admins, so.
Admin.
It is actually, it is successfully greenlit on Steam. So, so right now, like I said, we have Humble Bundle keys that we can give out. But yeah, if you're a Steam fan, I mean, you can find it on Steam. And I think it's pretty sweet. I think people would enjoy it.
And we might follow up on it a little bit. Maybe in the future we can do like an indie game corner or something where we all play the same game and then kind of
talk like,
about
nothing it. Like this Tard Boy plays though.
Yeah,
I'm not down for his tardness. But yeah, so
like
so there's
South
the
Park,
review
the game.
That game's pretty sweet. That's
not really
indie,
an indie game, but
yeah. So check it out. I mean, like they even have their own subreddit. It's just the name of the game. So.
And you want to spell that for people?
S-I-R-A-L-I-M.
Cyrilim.
Yeah, see, me. That's how I think.
That's what I initially thought, but
I hope,
you never know.
I mean, I'm going to, once you've put these up, I'll obviously send him a link, you know, so he can listen to them.
Please pronounce your game.
I hope he doesn't, like, write back, like, you're an idiot. How did you butcher that? I'll just be like,
it's very obviously...
Dude, we're from Missouri.
He's like, it's obviously Drouar. What? There's no D or anything like that in there. No, that's how we pronounce
it. Yeah, so there you go. Check it out. The guys are pretty cool. And, I mean, I think anybody who...
Do you want to know what's cool?
Cool enough to keep updating their thing and cool enough to let us talk about it on a podcast that... All of 10 people are going to hear.
95.
We commend you, sir.
Yeah, we commend
you. Thank
you
very much.
Thank you much.
You know what is cool, though?
What?
Limited edition Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
I really love the fact that they are selling it at Walmart.
Thank
God. And it's $3 for a 12-pack. That's...
Three? I thought it was four. Now I'm interested again.
Well, they had a sale where all their Pepsi products were...
Fudge packing delicious.
Dude, that's a quarter of soda.
It's not as good as the fountain. That's just how it's going
to
be.
Yeah, but you don't have to go all the way to Taco Bell to get watered down.
I'm going
to
mix that.
The Taco Bell where way back in the day somebody, and you know, I remember that day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because doing that motion and that noise made no sense to a podcast audience. You mean
what Brad was insinuating is someone committed suicide in the Taco Bell parking lot.
I remember that too.
You notice that we're turning into the Warrensburg version of the Californians on this, basically.
Oh, whatever. We're not going down the 5, hitting up the 7, making sure we're going to the 90th.
That is probably one of my favorite recurring skits that they do. there. Michael?
You didn't see
what
the,
you said.
You haven't seen the newest. You didn't see the you didn't see the last episode.
I haven't watched like the last four
man.
SNLs. They're all DVR'd.
Oh, I want to say what happened.
Yeah, don't.
But I can't.
All the ones with Andy Samberg on.
Well,
oh my god! If you're gonna
I've seen
it.
Okay,
dude.
We're not gonna talk about it though.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Dude.
So we apologize if you are not from our small town in the middle of Missouri.
Oh, don't tell anybody because they might find us and murder us or whatever.
Well, the black helicopters were already here last episode.
I just don't like the man.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, why don't you suck it?
I forgot. Oh, well.
It's because you're not a... First off, you're not a Malkovich fan and you're not a Kubrick fan. So why don't you go sit in a corner?
So name the Kubrick movies you love. Go. And
2001?
You do not love that movie.
That's about it. No, wait, I take that back. Dr. Strangelove is good.
See, I like Dr. Strangelove and Clockwork Orange, but those are about my
I like 2001. I think he took a... I think it...
I like Ric Flair's theme song in it.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty sweet. Now, I don't even know what the fuck that was.
That was you slobbing, dude. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't mind the one slobbing.
I'm
you're like,
giving you a hard
look.
Time. Why don't you calm down?
Why don't you not get so defensive?
But...
What are you doing?
I'm fucking closing that.
What if you need to have information?
I don't. I turned it off. It was just for the review because I didn't bother to write anything down. Like you said, we need a notepad.
No one needs notepads. Yeah.
But I was actually looking for one because I know I have one, but I think it's here with all my D&D stuff.
Probably. I hope
so. I think that's what it's here with.
So is your.
But I thought that was
Asylum of Cthulhu or
Arkham Horror.
Arkham Horror Asylum.
I really need to figure out
17
how to play
pages
that.
Of trying to figure out the game. We get it all set up. He looks at it. He's like,
You want to fucking play something else?
Well, the whole thing is I played it at Sarah's parents' house. But
the first thing he did, he goes, moves. He's like, all right. And then he's flipping through all these pages.
I don't know if I was allowed to do that. The monster that I had to fight at Sarah's parents' house when I played it by myself wasn't...
This is a board game, by the way, with overly complicated, ridiculous rules.
And, you know, I just... the thing is with that, too, I need to sit down and watch a Let's Play video of it on YouTube.
Nothing is more exciting than watching people on YouTube play a board game.
That's how you gotta learn. You know? Because
Tabletop.
Don't get me wrong.
Really cool.
Thompson's Game Store, awesome. I don't want to go, and then they'll be like, yo, dude, bought this like a year ago, still don't know how to play it. You guys play this? And then they're just going to be like, dweeb.
Well, it's like trying to play Axis and Allies out of the box without ever playing it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, try and have someone explain that.
It's
going to
be just like Risk.
No.
They sell that at Target now. Axis and Allies. They sell Pandemic at Target.
Well, but Pandemic's one of the ones that kind of got big, and it's not overly complicated.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Apparently, Dave's neighbor, if you want to update on him mowing the lawn, is running over gravel,
He's probably got the mulch function on.
Yeah. Just obliterating every ounce
of
his yard.
Or just running over gravel. One of the two.
Old man
one
Bob's this shit. He is pretty sweet.
Unless
he turns out to be some kind of like Scooby-Doo villain.
I thought that was pretty cool, the whole... D&D doing the whole free thing, because granted, you can go online and download any of their PDFs.
Whoa.
It's not hard.
Spoilers.
But, yeah, I just thought that was pretty cool. They're going to put out the base stuff. And I know you said you don't care for 4th edition, and I didn't hate it,
but 4th edition plays like you're playing World of Warcraft, except... like analog World of Warcraft.
Yeah, no,
everyone's too powerful, because you walk into a battle and it's like, okay, I'm gonna fight this dragon, and this is like what everyone's turn, like normal D&D, what I'm used to, and I'm being an old man on his lawn yelling at kids at this point. But you have to kind of use
78.
You have to kind of use a little bit of intelligence where you're like, okay, I'm gonna get in the shadows and I'm gonna try to swing my sword at this guy. That 4th edition, and this just could be the group that I played it with, were basically like, okay, I'm gonna cast Sword Cloud, and then the other guy's like, okay, I'm gonna cast 6 instances of Atomic Death, and then I'm like, holy crap, what are you? I'm a level 1 wizard.
Yeah.
So everything is just like, it sounds like you're explaining
a
video game.
I got a Dirk.
It's like,
I've got a Dirk of, just a standard Dirk. It's not Dirk of Healing or Dirk of Redemption.
But then you got
Dirk.
The extremists, like the group you said you played in...
on Utah?
In Utah,
God,
where
dude, like,
they're like,
12,
all right, you need
hours.
To take 20 minutes to heal. And then she went and did
it
for 20 minutes.
It was real role-playing, which...
That's an insane
That's
LARP.
The stuff I want to take out. I don't want to actually sit for 12 or 20 minutes, If you want to do something else in-game, like, to make it seem like 20 minutes, that's fine. But let's not actually sit for real human 20
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, a great podcast to listen to when it comes to D&D stuff is a little thing called Nerd Poker by Brian Posehn and Friends. If you want to fucking laugh.
I don't think I've ever even played a game in 4th edition.
I don't know.
When I looked at the 5th edition stuff, I wasn't super keen on it when I read through it, but I haven't actually played it yet, because there you can get beta test material and kind of
right
look at
oh yeah
it. But it wasn't because it was like it was just it seemed like they made it complex for no reason, so we'll have to see what it turns out like. If their intention is to make it more simplified, then I'm hoping
I think that's what he's saying, is he wants to try to make it a little bit more simpler. At least off the bat, they want the base rules to be simplified so that you can get into it easier, but then it's still gonna have simplified.
Oh.
But it's still gonna be still get super in depth with it.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Where you're role playing bowel movements and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, like in South Park.
Yeah,
that game was so well done.
That's a game that I think came out of nowhere and actually surprised. It's going back to our video game discussion.
What game?
The South Park game that came out. It's a Japanese-style role-playing game with South Park characters.
Yeah, the Stick of Truth one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very well done. I don't know how long. It took me about 11 hours to beat it or something like that,
which
isn't horrible, but...
Nah. I've always liked... I want to know... Just the whole, when you say, like Japanese or JRPG, people instantly... I mean, pretty much everyone thinks Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Just for the basic layout. But... I mean, if you think back to a lot of the old Gold Box DOS games,
they were all basically JRPGs at that
point. Yeah, and it's what just like, which one, like, I want to know which kind of came first.
Oh, JRPGs.
The thing is people have made a dumb distinction between the two, where you'll see the most asinine arguments online where people will say that Japanese-style RPGs are not, you know, quote-unquote, not real RPGs. They're a story-driven strategy game, and it's basically just people finding a way to mock, like, Final Fantasy.
Right. What was your favorite games as a kid? Let's go, like, did you have a Nintendo?
When I was younger, I lived in, like, rural Kansas for a while, so when everyone jumped on, like, got into video games, I did not really get into gaming right away then.
Yeah, I never had the original Nintendo. I did not have the Super Nintendo when it first came out.
I got a regular Nintendo.
I remember waiting in line at Walmart when there was, like, a line of three or four kids when the Super Mario Brothers game was out.
Yeah.
You could get a free taste. I remember sitting there watching it. I never really wanted to... I felt awkward.
By the time the Super Nintendo came out, my older stepbrother actually, for Christmas, gave me... Because he's, like, 8 years older than I am, and he didn't really play games much anymore. He gave me his Nintendo and all his games.
That's cool.
So I was like 12 or something, right. And I was younger than that. It was when I lived in Kansas
Rocking
City.
Some DuckTales.
I was like 10 or something, I don't know. But I ended up with this giant amount of games all of a sudden. And then I didn't really play the 16-bit era much, except for over at friends' houses. But when the PlayStation 1 came out, that's honestly what kind of got me into gaming. I played games before that, but it was just kind of like, I played Ninja Gaiden and stuff up to the point where it was like ridiculous how much I played that game.
See, I love level 1-1 Ninja Gaiden theme and song, theme song and that level, because I died so many other... When you get to level 3, you die 1,000 times from fucking Ninja Hawks.
Did you ever beat that game without cheating?
Nope.
Yeah, beat the only time I ever beat
I didn't
that
beat
game.
A lot of games without cheating.
So you didn't have...
I never had
an original Nintendo. Did you have this?
I had
SNES?
The Super Nintendo. Yeah, I had the SNES. Yeah.
So we didn't have Nintendo or an SNES. The first thing I ever legitly played, like, console was the Sega Master System.
Oh,
this is when we lived in... lived in Iowa.
Our friend Todd up the road had a Sega Genesis.
And, my maternal grandparents, they had rental properties at the time. Somebody just up and left, obviously, because they weren't paying rent. And yeah, that was in there. Sega Master System with there had to have been at least 20 or 30 games.
That's awesome, because you never saw Master Systems that much back then.
Well, yeah, and to me, living in Iowa, I mean, we lived 30 miles out of town. So I didn't have anyone to play with. I played on a giant dirt pile. But yeah, so I get this thing, and I mean, granted, I mean, I'm 5, so this is... That's 93.
Yeah.
I mean, third grade. What, Super Nintendo's out by then?
Oh, yeah. 93 91. A year before PlayStation came out.
I was going to say 90.
And so,
90 or 91
is when... I'm a kid. I'm not following gaming. I don't know anything about that other than, the little arcade games when we go into town and, to get pizza or something. But yeah, so Sega Master System to me, I'm like, this thing's awesome. Granted, I was 5. I didn't really understand... And none of the games had manuals. They were all just the cartridges,
I couldn't stand Sega's 3-button controller.
And I didn't... Oh, this was only 2.
Yeah, that was... The Master System was their Nintendo, basically.
Oh,
yeah.
Then I don't remember that. NES. I never saw one.
This thing was made, like, in 86 or
I've never actually played one, but I've played some games, because there was a lot of, like, really hardcore role-playing games and stuff on the Master System.
There was a handful of games that I would put in, and I didn't even understand what to do, so I'd just take out.
You're like, nope.
They had, of course, your standard shitty racing game, where you're clearly not actually, you know what I'm talking about, those old racing games where it's just the coming towards you and your car
like
is
a position.
Block, is a square. Yeah, pole position, stuff like that. They had kind of like a Gradius Super F-type game, which I loved. I thought that was pretty sweet. And then they were like some fighting games.
I loved.
But yeah, that was, the first console I guess we owned, but I never had an original Nintendo. It wasn't until we moved back here when I was 8. That I got to play Nintendo,
then
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, and
Jesus, boy. That sound is yet another DVD falling off of Dave's DVD pile.
I don't even remember the first time I saw a PlayStation, but I was a teenager.
I was living over near you, most likely.
I remember,
was a ways down the road.
I remember buying the PlayStation.
I don't think I ever
came
over to your house.
Well, I would go over to John's house.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's where I saw it.
Then
that
dude you lived next door to annoyed the crap out of me. So if everybody was hanging out, I generally wouldn't go in.
Yeah, I think that's where I saw it. Yeah, it was was John's.
I remember buying
Brad and
my
I used to be neighbors back when I was in eighth grade, and
back
he was
when the Chinese mafia was stocking the neighborhood. Yeah. People were planting bombs under guys' cars or something.
Yeah, that's
weird.
And my first memories of Brad was he was the guy that looked about my age, catty corner from my house, but was not allowed to do anything but mow the lawn.
So, yeah, it's pretty much, man. It's always grounded.
I'm like, Brad, you want to move that? Brad, you want to move that brick? Fuck it.
You think him mowing over gravel's bad? Dude, I'll mow over your house. I'm in the way.
I don't need this G.I. Joe no mo. Oh my God.
But Hank was actually the first time I ever played. That was where I played N64.
Really?
Hank's house, yeah. Hank was the only person in the neighborhood that I knew of who had.
I remember specifically
GoldenEye at San Francisco Rush.
I remember,
which I guarantee you, sorry, Burnout stole all of Rush's ideas.
Probably did.
Yeah.
Don't hurt my feelings.
By the way, if you want to get an N64 emulator and then just San Francisco Rush ROM, plays pretty sweet on your computer.
It's really taxing out the system, too.
Oh, I remember
my fan is
around
to spin negatively because it just to heat up. It doesn't even tax it.
I remember when the 64 was coming out and stuff like that, and I was hanging out with our friends Blaze and them next door, and his parents would get their Christmas gifts and hide them in very obvious, like, here it is in the closet, like, type places. I remember checking out and seeing that he was getting the 64, doing the happy dance and shit like that, coming over Christmas. We played GoldenEye. We played Star Fox. I mean, like, all the good stuff. Mace of the Dark Ages.
Star Fox was so awesome on that.
Yeah.
Oh, Star Fox was the best.
Well, and then Dave and I, not too long after that, we both got PlayStations like with a month apart, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. We both were working. And
what was the first game you played on PlayStation?
Well, okay, here's... I got completely suckered in with PlayStation because I remember...
We used to be able to go to Video Showcase and rent a system.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
So...
That's how I had started
to play games.
I was the target for that marketing campaign because the PlayStation came out in... Was it 94? And I remember I would go to Blockbuster and stuff and, like, play Crash Bandicoot or something. But it was never, like, a big... You know, I was like, oh, this is cool. But it reminded me of, you know, like, when they would have, like, the Sega CD and stuff. I would assume that, you know, they wouldn't take off. Then...
That scared the shit out of me.
The trailer eventually came out for Final Fantasy VII. And basically, I was sold completely on everything related to the PlayStation at that point.
Right.
And from then on, I bought Final Fantasy VII. I bought, you know, Crash Bandicoot games.
I remember spending a half an hour just watching you fight the final boss at frickin' Zephyroth, and that half hour was his move.
Yeah.
That was insanity.
The first game I played on PlayStation was Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, that's a good one.
And, I mean, that was the first time I ever touched a PlayStation. I knew someone who had the Sega CD, and I played on that, but I didn't understand it. Even as a kid, I'm just like, I'm going to go play Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is dumb. You know, to me, it seemed not near as cool as Super Nintendo. But yeah,
I remember
the PlayStation, the kid across the street, Nick, he got it.
Yeah.
He got one. And yeah, Metal Gear Solid. And I remember neither one of us had really any clue of what we were doing. But we beat that game. Sweet. And I'm just like, that was awesome.
Metal Gear Solid is absolutely,
I would say that's
still
probably
one of my
really,
favorite games of all time.
I would
time.
Say that's probably really when I kind of was like, yep, I'm probably going to be a gamer.
Yeah.
At least when it grabbed me.
That whole period, like the 32-bit era, Resident Evil.
Resident Evil really freaking did it for
Nightmare
me
Creatures.
I wish they would remake that game. To me, that game was great.
Yeah.
It probably all depends on who owns the rights.
There was a lot of sweet
I don't
games.
Even know who makes it.
Nightmare Creatures, I think, was Eidos. I think it was so they're owned by Square now, so probably
no,
whatever.
Luck.
I mean, they still make Tomb Raider games, but I could... Well, let me look that up, because I don't actually...
But I liked that game. I thought that concept was great. They could probably do a lot more with that now. Actually, there's that new PlayStation 4 game we were talking about earlier, about games that were anticipated with 1842 or whatever it is, or whatever. There's a game that's reminds me of Nightmare Creatures, actually, because you're fighting demons or monsters in that era. I'm getting terrified of that. I'm turning it off too.
What
we'll do a couple fact checks here while we're kind of
looking.
But
no, I liked my PlayStation. I remember opening the box, freaking
I didn't have a PlayStation, but I remember I got a PlayStation 2. Yeah, it was PlayStation 2. I think I was 16. And yeah, but it was a family gift. It was a gift for the whole family, but I mean, I'm the only one who played it.
Yeah.
All right, I have a correction. Nightmare Creatures was developed by a company called Callisto Entertainment, and which I don't think exists anymore. And it was published by Activision.
Oh.
So, Callisto Entertainment...
Might have
been the company that made...
Is Callisto the guy from Twisted Metal? Twisted Metal, that was another one of those games.
I think you're thinking Calypso.
Oh, yeah, right. No, they. I guess this company really only made Nightmare. They made a bunch of games, but I haven't heard of any of them other than Nightmare Creatures. So it looks like they were just a small company.
I like that.
They declared bankruptcy in 2002, so that's why we haven't heard anything.
Activision probably owns the rights, and I would imagine.
And they're.
They're notorious for being a great company.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm. God, Twisted Metal. Love that. I remember when I got my PlayStation 2, the first game that. I got was Twisted Metal Black, and I remember hooking up the PlayStation 2, and our friend Josh Ellis was there too, and we're getting all the things set up, trying to figure out how it worked and stuff like that, and I turned it on and we couldn't get a visual video thing for some reason, and all of a sudden we heard the Paint It Black theme song,
oh,
but we
yeah,
didn't
man.
See
that...
the image, and I was like, that's not what it was, is that what happened? And it... Brad just dropped the mic.
Ja Rule.
And so I remember specifically...
That was such a good...
Very well
game
done thing.
Music tie-in thing. I mean...
That era was one of the best eras for gaming.
Oh,
PS2 era.
Oh, Lord, man.
I agree.
That, Xbox, PS2, and GameCube.
All that stuff was great. But we also had a lot of more free time to enjoy shit back then.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you games here are just as great. I have zero time or energy
to put in
50 hours in a video game.
Well, especially when games artificially inflate stuff. The thing that always drives me crazy nowadays is you'll get a game that easily could be beat in like 10 hours, and then they'll put in like Legend of Zelda Wind Waker did this. That Wind Waker is one of my favorite Zelda games, even though people gripe about it. But the problem is towards the end of the game, it's like someone was like, oh, hey, we completely forgot to put the Triforce in here. Did we? Oh my god. Well, they've already played through, by this point, 30 hours. I got it. We'll just shoehorn the Triforce in here at the end. And it'll be just, at the you beat everything and then Triforce. Okay. And then you fight Ganon. Alright, we got it.
Right.
I guess in the
Wii U
remake of it, they made it a little better. That's what I heard, is they kind of put some more stuff in at the end. But towards the end of the game, that was kind of like, you could just tell, like, okay, guys, you did that just to drag
Zelda
it out.
Zelda game was the first one. That 64 Zelda game was really cool.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely good. I think it gets a little over... This is my controversial statement of the century that pisses everyone off. I like the 16-bit Zelda games way more than the 3D ones. I think Link to the Past
is one of the absolute best games.
I've never
flat out that
care. I mean,
Metroid.
They're not bad.
Yeah. Super Metroid.
The newer ones, 3D ones, as opposed to the 16-bit ones. I just never seem to get into them near as much. I don't know if that's just me.
I know one of your top PlayStation games ever was that Castlevania.
Oh, Symphony of the Night. I played the hell. That was the first game that I went ridiculous with. Like the. My
game plus mode.
Oh, well, the thing with Castlevania Symphony of the Night, you can beat the game with a horrible ending, and you get, like, the thing is if you go and kill who you think is the boss at the end of the game, you finish the game, it's like, you could go every inch of the castle and be like, you got 50% of the game, and you're like, wait a minute. So you have to go and
flip
do...
upside down or something weird
like
that?
Well, because Richter Belmont is who you think the bad guy is, and then, yeah, the rest of the game is... It's dumb, but it's a mirror image upside down of the castle with more stuff. I literally went to every single nook and cranny, and I used my Game Shark at the time to go into a part of the game that was supposed to be unreachable. So I ended up with like 120%. I was like,
Jesus.
Yeah, what's up, brother?
So you went to the developer's
drop.
Room.
Damn
yeah,
right.
Well, it was basically like it was a section of the game that they didn't that was going to be there, but they blocked it off. And the only way to get there was to use the Game Shark to walk through a wall.
Right.
And
oh, God, the Game Shark. I must have used that. Mega Man 10, X, whatever the fuck. I used that a billion times.
It's like mirrors in most games. Most games aren't. I mean, when you see a mirror, it's not an actual mirror image.
Yeah.
It's a room that's not used, and it literally just has all the same stuff that in the room you're in. So like if you're in a bathroom,
yeah.
When your character walks in, it's just another character model that looks exactly like yours but flipped.
Yeah.
So it's which you can most time. Yeah, you can glitch into those rooms.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I learned that only a couple days ago.
That's awesome.
It makes sense, though. I mean, yeah, it's not like you're really going to have a real mirror,
yeah,
you know, in a game, but...
Stuff like that would take way too much processing power.
I remember I bought a Dreamcast, too, for like $100
I remember you
point.
Had a Dreamcast yeah, you for got, a while, but
was that right at the tail end when it was kind of going
yeah,
down?
Yeah, when it was going away. And I remember playing Guts Berserker's Rage, and that fucking...
Didn't you play Pikmin on that stupid shit?
That was the GameCube. But the fucking
all week too.
The goddamn what's it called? have you seen a sailor?
Shinmu.
Oh my god! The entire time it's like you're looking to get banged by a sailor. The entire time.
That's
like,
a good game, but well, okay. That game basically created like those sandbox games more or less, like that and QuickTime things. Because Shinmu was basically like. Press this button or you die type game, like, the whole time. Like, you know, back then, it was like, oh, my God, game's new. And then you look now, almost every game plays
That's
exactly like Shinmu.
Thing, yeah.
Resident Evil 4.
I don't care
that
for
game,
a lot of
I got
actions.
The GameCube, too. That's where we got Pikmin. That's where Brad was being a bitch.
You were being a dick all week,
I was
week,
not
bro.
Being a dick all week. You were fucking being a bitch.
That's what I was thinking. It was
you know,
GameCube.
I'm sitting there making you...
The only thing I've played, and I didn't even play it on the GameCube, but I know it's like one of the big...
Pikmin.
Saving graces of the GameCube was Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
Resident Evil. Well, the thing with the GameCube that people don't realize, it was the most powerful of the three systems.
Right, I know that, yeah. But I know it seemed
another
like...
Another horrible gimmicky design.
Nobody utilized it. Like, you had Smash Brothers, which was... I did play that on it.
Yeah.
But I just... It seems like Smash Brothers
Mario Kart
and that Resident
cool.
Evil 4 was, like, really the only things you hear about it anymore.
The problem with Nintendo, and this is, like, the Wii was my favorite system of this generation, even though I play almost entirely PS3 now, and I'll get back in a sec to why. The Wii was amazing, but Nintendo did the thing that they always do. They pissed off all of the third parties, and then they talked crap on them, and then forced a bunch of stuff into the game, like Microsoft was starting to do with the Kinect, and it alienated everyone, and people stopped making games for it. The Wii, 2009, I think, was the last time that they made games for their own damn system. Like my wife and I have a 3DS, and it's an amazing system that they support wholeheartedly, but the Wii, they just dropped. And they expected third parties to keep doing it. Well, third parties aren't going to like support a system that the company doesn't even make games for. And that's why I have yet to buy a Wii U, because I don't trust that it's going to do anything, and I'm not going to end up with
you're going to end up doing nothing.
So I'm sitting like, Nintendo out this generation.
I don't like that they got rid of the Wi-Fi stuff with the Wii and the DS, the original DS, the DS Slim, because that's what I still have, DS.
What do you mean the Wi-Fi stuff,
You can still get on the internet and stuff.
Yeah.
But like you can't play Mario Kart online anymore on the original Wii.
Oh yeah.
Like that, they dropped all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
You know, and what that I don't understand is like this last, they brought out that new slimmed down Wii this last Christmas. I'm like, why would you even do that?
It doesn't need to be slimmed down. It takes up hardly any space.
Yeah, it's the size of like three DVD cases.
But you know what I'm saying? Like that super cheap version of the Wii, like some kind of bundle thing.
And yeah.
I'm like, you've got the U out. Why even bother with that?
I will say the one...
Now, Nintendo supposedly has a bunch of games they're going to announce at E3. So I'm not going to hold my breath. But if they come out with like... Star Fox and like all these
they
big,
better say Metroid.
They better do something crazy because they've made promises in the past and then it ends up being like you know, they're like, this is gonna be the year where we blow your minds, then it's like Wii Fit 2. And it's like, you know, I'm not dogging Wii Fit 2, but I'm not gonna rush out and buy a system
for
that.
People were super happy about Donkey Kong, and then the reviews come in and it's like, it's not as great as they hope.
I will say the one thing I really liked about the Wii, and I think the PlayStation does too, you guys will have to chime in if it does, but you don't need a fucking account to do like Netflix. Xbox is bullshit that you have to fucking have Xbox.
Yeah, you have to pay for it to do it.
However, if I did read correctly, they're going to do away with that. They're going to do away with to where you can access your Netflix without having a fucking gold account.
Yeah.
But I thought that was bullshit for a really long time. That
yeah, you, PS3, you don't have to have...
Right, yeah,
now, but with PS3, in order to play online, you do have to have the...
All right, to play
I already pay for PSN Plus. That is?
Nothing.
One of the reasons I eventually went with PlayStation over the other two...
It doesn't cost anything in order to freaking be a part of their PlayStation Network or anything like that.
Well, yeah, but he said to play online.
No, you have to get PlayStation Plus. But the thing with...
Not on the PS3.
No. He's talking about PS4, though.
No, he wasn't.
You're talking about PS3?
I was talking about PS3.
Oh, my bad.
That's why
disregard.
PS4.
Disregard.
You're right. PS4, they went with that model.
I never understood that.
But they give away games with PSN
Plus. I never understood
PSN
that about Xbox. I'm just like, how would you... I mean, now granted, most people aren't gonna buy gold just to watch Netflix. But it's just like...
People do, though.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing.
Their problem is they have that...
a month?
Their Xbox thing is it's based on... This is the all-around, the One. That's why it was called One and not something else.
Talking about the new one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about...
I know, but I'm just saying, but like, stuff like the Xbox One, it's supposed to replace... Well, you said they're trying to get rid of the ability to do that.
Well, I think they're going
to take over for all your stuff, your cable box and all that other crap, which I don't... Or you have the ability to use it. And stuff like...
Well, I think it's going to go on the 360, though, too, is you don't need a gold account to access your Netflix.
Well, that's true. That'd be cool. I guess, but
it always blew my mind that Xbox, you had to have gold.
It doesn't bother me because I don't play online with people, so...
Well, yeah,
I have to pay for freaking Netflix, that's going to piss me off.
Well, Microsoft only recently realized that, like, PlayStation Plus, the thing that they did is they... It was a voluntary system, and instead of PlayStation Plus being like, hey, you have to have this to do stuff, it was, hey, sign up for this, and we give you stuff.
You know what also sold me on PlayStation 3, like, in the Sony brand, when they got... Snake Eater was definitely...
That wasn't even on PlayStation 3.
I know, but it's part of the PlayStation franchise.
Nah,
anyway, but when they got... The account's hacked by that bastard asshole.
Oh, and they gave away all that free stuff.
And they're like, we are very sorry that the internet's down below with it. You have the choice between these two games. This amount of time, we're giving you for... That's when you got your PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
You've had it ever since that.
I got it.
Well, because you got it for free. And then you signed up.
They gave away the month of PlayStation Plus, and they gave away... like 8 games or something ridiculous. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
and, like stuff like the first two games I got during that whole thing was Infamous and Little Big Planet.
See, I picked up zombie game for the kids and stuff.
Dead
like
Nation.
That. Yeah, that game's awesome.
And what actually got me to get PlayStation Plus was I played a demo for an indie game called Stacking, made by the guy that. Originally did Psychonauts and some of those other... Bill Schaefer, is that his name?
I believe that's who
something
it is,
like that. Stacking was this little game where you're basically these people that were... In this world, everyone was like Matryoshka dolls. And you had to go around in order to like...
Oh, yeah.
Do
okay,
stuff. You would have to get inside like a bigger person that had like a jetpack on to fly. You know, you'd have to play it.
You know what?
Dumb.
That sounds like Three Vikings or the Yeah.
It's a lot like that.
I love that game. Did you ever play that one?
No.
Oh, it was on Super Nintendo. It was really cool. Each Viking had its own... Like, one of them could run fast, one of them had a shield, and the other one had the weapon in order to get through the puzzle.
It was like Blizzard's first game, I think.
Oh, yeah. In order to get through the map,
One
guy wouldn't be able to run.
I think they were
going to
put it out on...
That was...
I think they were... They were going to put it out on Game Boy at one point. They might have even have done it, too. I don't know. But
God, that game was so much fun.
Are we getting to where we need to wrap up?
We all Jay Leno there for a second.
Well, because I figured we could do, like, last topic, like, your favorite game genre and just kind of why.
Okay.
No, I figured that'd be a good way to wrap
it
up.
Well, you started up then.
I would have to say strategy. Like, real-time strategy. Which is why I'm such a PC elitist.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of strategy games. And it's understandable.
StarCraft 64. Worst game ever.
That's even like on... was it Super Nintendo that had Command & Conquer? I'm pretty sure.
PlayStation 1 had Red Alert.
PlayStation added what?
Had Red Alert.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
It's hard to do those games.
The controls weren't terrible, but
it's way easier on a
computer. Yeah, it was dumbed down quite a bit.
I'll tell you what,
it's,
like,
it's, for me, yeah, it's real-time strategy or even turn-based strategy followed very closely by RPGs.
But with the PS4 nowadays, with that touchscreen on that front stuff, it's probably not going to be as difficult to do.
Yeah, you're going to be able to have...
On the front stuff.
On the controller, it's got...
It's got a little screen on it.
A screen that you use as a touchpad and stuff like that for whatever.
But that would be, that'd be my genre. And then I would have to say for... I mean, I don't know. It's always... Build shit on the... Like, Age of Empires 2, it's definitely where it was. Age of Empires and Age of Empires 2. I remember playing those computer. I'm just like, dude, these games are baller. So that's why it would be RTS, followed by RPG, just because I think most gamers fucking RPGs in their top...
Yeah.
Top two.
See, like, I never was a big RPG fan type thing. I just... Like I said, like the open world RPGs, like...
Well, what's helped you is now that they're all fully voice acted...
Yeah, and that was the thing that really bugged me back in the day. Was
Bill Wallace didn't write a lot of RPGs.
He did not.
If there was a Danger in Quicksand Swamp indie RPG, Dave would play the.
Because a lot of RPGs back in the 32-bit era were pretty obtuse if you weren't into that. Like one of my favorite games is Xenogears, and you needed a doctoral thesis in now that I'm older, I understand
psychology.
Stuff. Well, no, it was like freaking Eastern religion and stuff. That game was like you had no idea what was happening.
Super. Like, they get deep into stuff. I mean, it's like playing, you know, I remember playing Ultima 7, you know, at a friend's house, and I remember I just skipped through a bunch of, I didn't fucking care. I didn't understand a lot of it.
I think action, like the Tomb Raider game, like...
Like adventure games.
Action adventure games are probably my, I mean, I like open world, like Grand Theft Auto, but I just like it because of the scope and the big stuff. And... I've gotten to the age and stuff like that. I've got to have a decent story.
Yeah.
In order to freaking...
But in open worlds, too, I mean, if you don't...
If you don't follow the story, you're going to, no matter what, degrade down to just shooting random people.
Yeah.
And I get to like that. I mean, that's why I like Saints Row, the third. It doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Oh, no, I like action adventures, too, yeah. I understand that about open worlds.
Favorite.
I mean,
space...
Anything sci-fi based? You mean like fighters, space fighter? Like X-Wing fighters.
X-Wing fighters.
Dude,
even aerial combat games. Love those games, too. I've always...
You know about Ace Combat Infinity. It's going to be free coming out, right?
No, really? didn't know that.
Look that up. Combat Infinity. 100%. It's probably microtransaction. Like, you need to pay money to buy this jet or something. But
right.
That's coming out at some point.
And I like... like I said, KOTOR, and so like Dead Island and KOTOR.
Yeah.
Those
so
kind
you like
of
RPGs, but RPGs are a little more...
I've gotten a little bit...
Like more of like action-adventure, but they have RPG elements.
Yeah, like I understand the concept now. I mean, a little bit. It's like, oh, I've got this wooden stick. Well, it gives me +2 against something. I'm able to figure it out.
Yeah.
And anything like Diablo, what kind of games are those?
Diablo's an RPG.
Isometric RPGs.
Well,
that's a
Diablo
stupid
falls into the,
thing to
Diablo
say.
Falls into the hack and slash RPG, where it's... Yeah, you role-play a little bit because you're adding their stats and stuff, but it's not
I guess just
role-play.
I'll go basic. I don't like racing games. There. I mean,
Burnout, dude. Greatest racing series of all time.
Midnight Club Dub Edition.
That's where it's at, dude.
We must have played that game for years.
Dude, look at this sweet truck that I put 30-inch rims on.
I painted it metallic purple.
I wonder why I'm losing races.
I don't know.
What about you, Steve?
Steve, what's your favorite genre?
What you got going on?
Why?
Favorite genre...
All right, and that wraps up this episode. Just kidding.
My favorite genre, and I'm so happy that they're bringing it back, are point-and-click adventure games.
Yeah.
Because
back
in the day,
Telltale
I used to play
dominated.
Almost nothing but Sierra games. Like, I would just go crazy with those things. Like, I was too young to play it, but I played Leisure Suit Larry, Space Quest,
you put
Police
that
Quest.
Condom on, or you get
like,
AIDS and die.
All those games... And then they died for so long, and then all of a sudden...
It did. I mean, it was a straight-up dead genre.
I remember having...
Wild.
I remember having SWAT.
You know what brought it back? Is on handheld devices, the Phoenix Wright games and stuff like that, those like...
Ace Attorney?
Yeah.
Yeah, those games
Those
awesome.
Games came out of nowhere, and people were dogging them when they first announced, like, no one's going to play this, and now...
They're fun.
Everyone plays point-and-click adventure games again.
Well, I think the thing, too, with point-and-click is when they... I mean, because they got pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, for a while, but I think it's like with any type of genre that gets big.
They overdid it.
Then it became just complete shit and trash.
Now, you know, Telltale, right now, they're doing season two of Walking Dead. I don't even watch the show Walking Dead, and that game was my game of the year in 2012.
Well, first off, that has nothing to do with the actual movie.
Oh, I know.
So, I mean, they're, you don't have to watch it, so that makes it even better.
And then they had, you know, I'm playing Wolf Among Us right now, which is based on a comic series, my favorite comic series called Fables, which, you know, right away, when they announced that, I was like, yes! They have a Borderlands point-and-click game coming out, and then they also have a
Game of Thrones is coming out,
too. I'm not a big Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but it'll be not. Well, it'll be a side story with other.
Is the Borderlands point-and-click? Because I haven't heard anything about this.
Yeah,
but
Tales from Borderlands.
Is it by the same people who've been doing Borderlands?
Yeah. It's Telltale in conjunction with Borderlands. So it'll be...
I hope it's going to be as ridiculous. Borderlands 2 is just...
Your favorite.
What's his face? Jack or whatever, the like head bad guy. Some of the shit he says is
that's like gaming history. Like,
some of the ridiculous nonsense he says.
I gotta give it another chance to play.
You didn't like Borderlands?
I don't think I do. Is it just cel shading? Cel shading didn't bother me none.
Dave doesn't like MMOs. It's kind of like I enjoyed Borderlands for the most part, but it does sort of force you to play with other people.
Well, I will say, okay, if you played the first one, you didn't like it. Yes, the first one was very much. A lot better multiplayer from what I was told. However, the second one, to me, there's more, you have more encounters to where it keeps the game pace up.
It's like I played Fallout, and that was just way too much shit going on. I had to be
too
like...
Too open-ended.
Well, I'm like, I have to pay attention a lot and stuff like that.
I mean, you talk to each person, and they give you a stupid quest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't mind that.
You know, and Skyrim, it's a little like that, but there's a little bit more fantasy element to it that I was able to be like, all right, cool, there's a dragon, I got magic powers and shit like that.
I got this.
Yeah. Willow! But, like, it's like post-apocalyptic type stuff.
You don't care as much for post-apocalyptic?
Post-apocalyptic shit does not suit my fancy for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I've never been like... Last of Us... That game is I almost guarantee you will love that game because it's very well done. He didn't like it because he played 5 minutes into the story and
fucking
it's just
stupid.
It's just whatever.
Fucking stupid fucking game.
Stupid fucking game.
This goddamn fucking tough toy.
Fucking tough toy truck.
Fucking stupid game. But no. Yeah, it was boring. I hated it. I'm like, why can't I run? Where's the run button? This is stupid.
I mean, it's made by the same people that did Uncharted and all that stuff, and Uncharted's great because the main character's got
Nathan Drake.
Yeah, he's got a fucking personality.
Well, the thing is,
and I love Tomb Raider. I thought that game was great.
Some open world stuff, yeah, is very.
See, I used to think I hated
those.
Open world
RPGs are super hard to get into. Some of them are very hard to get into,
like sandbox games. I used to think that I hated them, and then I played Infamous, and I played
Infamous
Sleeping
is
Dogs.
Great.
Then I came to the conclusion. I don't like Grand Theft Auto very much. That was my whole thing. I haven't played 5 yet, but the problem I have with Grand Theft Auto
is
Saints Row, I like it better because it doesn't take itself seriously. Grand Theft Auto used to be like that, and then it started taking itself seriously, and I was like,
Grand Theft Auto is beautiful looking.
Yeah.
The whole cityscape. Yeah, it's gorgeous. Such a gorgeous game.
You'll end up doing exactly the same thing. It's like, I don't have the game right now because I left it at Jim's house and stuff like that. He has not done but one quest.
Just derps
and
around.
That's all he does.
But when I go over to Jim's house with him, that's all I do is derp around.
The thing I've heard about 5 that makes me want to get it eventually is that they took out. The thing I didn't like about 4 was the entire game seemed to be based on the fact that you did chores for your cousin or whatever that guy was. It drove me crazy. I don't care about going to the mall to, you know, like going to the nightclub.
In the 5, you split between 3 characters.
Yeah.
You start off
and it's all heists, pretty much, isn't it? And stuff like that.
Yeah. That's another thing. I don't know if you knew that or gotten into it, but eventually you can get a crew together to go do heists.
No, I haven't. I mean, I knew you could do that, but I don't have
it. It was really awesome. I had just gotten into that, and I left it over there. Quit eyeballing it.
But to continue with, because we have to wrap up here in a sec, my other favorite is role-playing games, specifically tactical role-playing games that are super obtuse for people that don't like the kind of role-playing games that I play. Sarah gets mad at me, my wife, because we're playing like Tales of Zillia. We could have easily, Tales of Grace is the previous one. I could have beat that game at like level 40. I'm currently sitting at level 85 Steve, I am the most powerful person in... I could probably beat... I beat the final boss on the regular...
I could beat every boss combined in one party by myself with one HP, bro.
I could probably... like, and I don't do the
Altoid.
I don't do the crap where I go super crazy with it, but I just start... I get to where a bad guy's hard, and I'm like, well, I better grind. Next thing I know, I'm 10 levels higher, and I'm like, ooh, I think I overdid it slightly.
Are you the kind of guy that goes to Legend of Zelda to grind every piece of grass to get gold?
No, that stuff's boring.
It grows back, no, you're like, yeah, son of a
that
bitch.
Stuff's boring. But yeah, I know what you're talking about, because I do that, too, on some RPGs. I grind, and yeah, you get to the point where you've grinded too much.
Yeah.
And now it's boring for
because you're too powerful.
Large chunk, you know, for the next large chunk. Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I do that.
Metal Gear is one of the best franchises I've ever played.
Yeah.
Hands down. I anticipate it constantly. The stories sometimes leave me wanting because I don't understand what the fuck they're saying. Metal Gear Solid. If I were to pick.
Lalilulalo.
Yeah. If I were to pick.
I have bees coming out
one
of my
game,
back.
What? One game.
Mow the
lawn,
Snake. When did this turn into Ninja Scroll?
My favorite. Oh, I love Ninja Scroll too. Anyway, sorry. Metal Gear Solid, the first one, is absolutely, to me, the most perfect all round round game of that era. The controls are a little funky if you're going back and looking at it now. You know, circle is your accept button? How is this? Or square, you know, because it's all back ass words.
Because you got so used to X being the no button.
Fucking Konami. But. I don't know how to beat Psycho Mantis because I didn't know, it didn't tell you. And then, like, you had to have the box. It even has it in here. You have to have the booklet in order to have that back code thing. That code in the back.
The codec for the first Metal Gear game. It's in the booklet for the new one.
I think so. Or it's in the instruction booklet that you have the ability to access. In the game, that's what it is.
The only other way to get that one radio codec is to literally go to every single radio on there and hit the button and hope that you eventually find it.
Yeah, but or for and they don't tell you. It's or I think eventually he'll tell you. He's like, check the back of the box.
Yeah,
and you're like, what the?
Back in the day, that blew your mind. You're like, oh my god, it broke the fourth wall.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Yeah,
I see that you've played Castlevania, or I'm like, holy.
And then Metal Gear Solid 2 took that too far when Snake walks in and he's like, I have a headband, I have infinite ammo, and you're like, okay, is this happening or what the hell is this about?
Yeah,
like, and they've, you know, I to me, if they would have ended that game and it had been like, this is all VR missions, I'd have been okay, cool, way to Mario Brothers 2 this, but whatever. But they didn't do that. And it made no damn sense. That pissed me off. It really hurt.
And on that note, we're going to be ending this episode of Triangle Face. Join us again next time.
We're gonna. This has been a big talky one. So we'll get some more humor going in.
We'll if you want. Don't eyeball me. If you want a copy of that game, we've got a couple of those codes. Go to our Facebook page. We'll have some info on that. Give us some reviews on iTunes. And other than that.
K-Mac Diesel, what up, what up,
what's up? Got some other shout-outs to some of our listeners, like Todd Heggie, Jason Clark. You peeps are awesome.
Rangers.
That's all I know, because I don't even know anybody else who listens to it.
everyone that listens to it. Christine's coming back from frickin' Japan pretty soon, so that's going
to
be...
We need to take a group photo so we can put that up.
Okay.
Steve, we need to have photos.
Yeah,
and if we can just find that picture and scan it, that would be perfect.
Oh, with the microphones and then in a triangle.
We're gonna do that. It's gonna be awful. So get ready. All right.
What are you doing?
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.